Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. Whether you're watching us on YouTube, checking us out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, we always appreciate you being here and being with us. Perry, the Packers and Ravens had joint practice today as we record this. And then we've got one preseason game and roster cutdowns. And in 2 weeks, we are talking about the Chiefs in the season opener. And then the Packers play on Friday of that week. So it's happening really, really quickly. The preseason, you know, felt like it took forever to get here, and now it's just flying by.
Yeah, we are one holiday weekend away from football season is how I look at it. We've got Labor Day weekend, football. And I don't know. I can't wait for it. You and I were talking pre-show just about how, like, the preseason gets kind of redundant, and I was thinking about how there used to be four of these games, and I'm very glad that they shortened it. I think three is the perfect formula. There doesn't need to be any more than three games. It's the perfect amount of time for the players and the coaches. You don't need any more than this, and we are going to get to see what we need to see, I think, in this Ravens game. I guess we'll get there when we talk about it, but the Ravens came to town this week. The Packers are finally home. They've been away all of preseason. They had joint practices away against the Broncos. They hosted the Ravens this week at Lambeau. It was really cute and wholesome. I thought the Ravens joined in on the tradition of riding the bikes to camp. Love that. I love seeing even the visitors appreciate the tradition that we do in Green Bay. And then they had what sounded like a very competitive, but like right at that threshold of like not too chippy practice, just the perfect mix of healthy competition between the Ravens and the Packers, which is nice to see. And it sounded like the Packers, after having a not so great joint practice against the Broncos, really brought it back against the Ravens, probably in addition to wanting to step up their game after not showing up in the last one, was probably also nice being home. So curious your thoughts and if anyone stood out to you in this joint practice from what we were able to glean since you and I are not there.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I was just thinking, you know, we talked pre-show like about the starters and probably wanting to play their best because Matt LaFleur has been really like non-committal about whether or not the starters are going to play. It's been kind of a we'll see all week, and then they played really well. But then I was thinking, and not that it like makes, you know, the decision one way or the other, but this is their first home game of the preseason. They've been on the road for so long, and now they're coming back and the starters like might not play in front of the home crowd. And I don't know if they would do like a series because, you know, they're home at Lambeau, if that would make a difference. But yeah, it certainly seems like if they do play, it's going to be another Cleveland special where there's an offensive series, a defensive series or two, and then they're going to give kind of the last of the depth the real shots. But yeah, as far as like players that stood out, and I think the first team offense, it sounds like, really got things going, got the better of the Ravens defense. And I'm not like fully convinced about the Ravens defense yet this season, just because they lost so many pieces. They lost so many coaches. Like, they're dealing with the same kind of rebuild that we would think the Packers are doing under Jeff Hafley, like learning a new scheme, got a bunch of new coaches over there. But really nice to hear, like you said, they kind of didn't play very well in Denver. So getting to see them come out there against a John Harbaugh-led football team and go 4-for-4 in red zone period with Jordan Love scoring touchdowns kind of sets the tone and makes you think that maybe, yeah, they really, really are okay to just sit on ice for 2 weeks before they fly down to Brazil.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I know it can be like a cliche thing, or like you don't want to be the one who just says like Jordan Love looked great. When you're asked, you know, who stood out to you, you know, you want to maybe sometimes pick someone exciting or, you know, a hidden gem, but Jordan Love looked great. let's state the obvious. You know, he struggled a little bit, in Denver, which, is fine. You're not going to look 100 in every single practice all the time. But he was 18 for 30, 216 yards. And you said it, 4-for-4 on touchdowns. only one interception against, I mean, yes, they're rebuilding, but still have a lot of really awesome weapons on that Ravens defense. And I'm sure that they were looking to bring it against this number one Packers offense. So glad to see a quote unquote, you know, bounce back, if that's what you want to call it, at least. But the Jordan showing up the way we expect Jordan to show up, I think, is the way that I would like to put that, with his starting offense. And I agree, you know, maybe this is what needed to happen for them not to play on Saturday. Maybe, like you said, they still want to just do a series because they're home and they want to play in front of the crowd and they just want to get, keep the muscles warm, if you will, before Brazil, because that's a really long stretch to go without playing at all. We'll see. We'll see what Matt LaFleur wants to do. But either way, you have to feel really confident about where this offense is after practice today.
Yeah, and I think something else that's worth noting here is that Michael Pratt was taking all of the second team reps as QB2. Most of the offseason, in the preseason, it's been Sean Clifford as the next man up when Jordan Love is or isn't playing. And I think the fact that Michael Pratt got some looks and then played really well, sounded like he had like a ridiculous ball to Grant DuBose that was kind of like the highlight of the day, which is hard to say, you know, when your starting quarterback goes 4 for 4 on touchdowns, but seems like he had a really nice kind of last showing with the fans outside of what we said is just a really poor performance in Denver. So I'm not sure, you know, if that solidifies anything yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he gets the start on Saturday against the Ravens instead of Sean Clifford, because, you know, if they're vying for him to be potentially the backup quarterback, Clifford's had his opportunities to run with the twos all camp. So it'd be kind of nice to see him get some looks with some of the guys that are a little higher up on the depth chart that likely will be on the 53.
Yeah, little switch up, see what Michael Pratt can do when he's the one who's starting the game with those weapons versus the other way around. That would be interesting for sure. I mean, I think it's the QB2 is much more wide open than we would have ever expected going into the offseason, which is fun for sure. On the other side of the ball, you and I were DMing today during practice a little bit about a player that I know you love, and that's Evan Williams. So he had his fifth interception of camp today, which is awesome. Right. Just in a safety room that is now heavy on talent. I think there's been many opportunities for anyone outside of Xavier McKinney to show up and say, like, I'm deserving of playing time, whether that's been in practice or in games. And I think he's shown up in both camp, practice and in the games. I'm excited to see him play again, see how much playing time he gets in this third preseason game. But you and I both feel very confident that he's going to have a pretty strong role, whatever that looks like this season, whether that's a starting role or a rotational role, however they decide to use Javon Bullard, and who is that, like, second starting safety. But I think we're going to see a very large percentage of Evan Williams on defense.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think the Packers are kind of in a situation where they have like an abundance of riches in the secondary, which going into the offseason when we weren't sure what the safety room was even going to look like, that would have been like just, you know, music to our ears as fans, is wanting to hear that they're going to have that problem. But the thing I like about Jeff Hafley, and one of the things we've kept talking about, is that you actually believe it when he says he's going to have different players and different personnel in different packages. It's not just a nickel. He'll have like a big nickel. He'll have, you know, the shifty nickels. And I think that that's where we'll see like Evan Williams and Javon Bullard play a lot. I think Oladapo probably needs some more reps on defense. You know, he's kind of catching up after missing a lot of training camp with the toe injury, but I think he'll be a core special teamer early. And then I think when he does get to play, he'll play in that box safety role. But what I thought was interesting going back and looking at like the initial 53-man roster from last season was that the Packers only carried 4 corners. It was Jair Rasul, Carrington Valentine, and then Keyshawn Nixon, because Eric Stokes started on the pup. So it made me think, you know, where kind of some of these roster spots are going to be up for grabs. You know, we've got what we think is five safeties that are pretty much roster locks at this point. It'd be hard to think about any of them being cut. Maybe in like a weird way, they would keep six if they were like really married to Zane Anderson being like a starter on team, something like that. But there's a chance that, you know, the corner room is only five guys and you're making some really difficult decisions, especially if you want to keep like an extra linebacker and an extra edge rusher. So where they feel confident in these guys going into this final game, I think is going to be really telling, because it could kind of be, you know, like a chess match to figure out where you can afford to take a player to add a player elsewhere. Ooh, are you muted?
I was.
My headphones gave out.
I think that's going to be the biggest question as we go, you and I start looking into the 53, and we'll do a full episode on this, right, is they have this preseason time has really given us a glimpse into just like how deep the depth is on this team in certain position groups and where the Packers value certain positions we've already known, right? And to your point, like the secondary is a position group that we know that they value. However, do they want to keep that, you know, extra O-lineman? Do they want to keep that, you know, fourth running back, depending on the timeline on Marshawn Lloyd? Do they want to keep that extra wide receiver? Like, these are all those questions. And if the answer is yes, you're going to have to make sacrifices in other areas. And we'll get into this eventually. And I mean, we think we could go down a rabbit hole for a while now on it, but where they trim in certain position groups is going to be really interesting. And it's, I think, going to come down to the versatility in each room and which guys can kind of play in multiple different positions and be moved around. And I think that when you look at the secondary and who they have and who they brought in this season, they have a lot of guys who can do that. And so it's, I think when you get into that like depth area, and we're going to see these guys a little bit more in this preseason game, it's, well, if you're only really playing on teams, I actually don't know if that's going to be good enough for you to make this roster, because a lot of these secondary guys are playing on teams, but they're also going to be playing like meaningful defensive snaps. So it's going to be interesting to see where they just like decide to make those trims, because unfortunately and fortunately, they have a lot of talent in like that very back end of the roster.
Yeah. And I mean, I think there's, you know, that's why Matt LaFleur always says, you know, like it's a 69 man roster, not a 53 man roster. A lot of these guys, you know, you're hoping that if they don't make the initial 53, that they'll come back to the practice squad, because we saw quite a bit less. There were a lot of guys that got elevated multiple times for game day. And unfortunately, injuries happen here too, right? We're still waiting to see Edge Cooper because he's had the hip injury. We're not sure if he's going to play on Saturday or what that'll look like. It's not like his roster spot is in jeopardy by any means, but the Packers might go into the season with six inside linebackers because Cooper's not able to play for the first couple weeks. And then, you know, when he's healthy, maybe they decide, okay, we're going to, you know, release somebody and elevate somebody else from the practice squad. Like these moves, we talk about this 53-ster, and there's a lot to be said about making the initial roster, but so much of it ebbs and flows throughout the season. There's guys that sign to the active roster and then are released and then come to the practice squad and then go somewhere else for, you know, their practice squad and then come back to Green Bay. Like there's going to be a lot in flux. So the Packers kind of knowing what they have and knowing who some of these depth guys are, I think, you know, bodes well for them. And I'll be really curious, like you said, to see where some of these, you know, position groups are able to trim to make room for other roster spots. But
one final group I want to talk about before we shift is, because I feel like we haven't talked about them a ton. And I think in terms of this game, they're also someone that I'm going to be looking at, is the edge group. Just because I feel like there was a lot being said about the edge group in practice today. I feel like Preston was everywhere and Kenny was blowing up plays. And obviously we know who Rashawn Gary is. And I saw a lot about how TJ Slayton looks. And You know, we've been seeing a lot of LVN in the preseason games, which I find like just like notable, not good or bad, just notable. So definitely we'll be watching to see how many snaps he plays in this last game, whether they it's more or less, if they treat him more like a starter and they don't play him as much. You know, we've been seeing a decent amount of Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden, obviously, because like you just need bodies in the preseason also to be playing at edge. Kingsley and JJ and Agbari coming back from injury is going to be notable to watch. You and I have talked a ton about like that last final edge guy of like, is it going to be Bretton Cox Jr., who's had a really nice camp? So, you know, speaking just now about like depth, I mean, they've all of a sudden got like really, really deep at edge depth. And especially, I think, today at practice, at least from the timeline, right? Because again, reiterating, you and I are not there, so we're just getting like secondary information. It really sounded like the edge players stood out at practice today. And wonderful, because you expect that with the amount of talent that they have at that position. But will be another kind of difficult decision for the front office to make, A, and B, I think just going into this last game, I'm really excited to watch those depth guys in this preseason game.
And I think they've all kind of flashed in different ways. Like we said that Bretton Cox was kind of the incumbent because he had been on the roster last season. Aaron Mosby, I thought, has had a really nice camp and a really nice preseason. They brought in Zach Morton for depth, and then he had the safety last week. So there's just all these guys making splash plays. And one of the things that I remembered, you know, when going back to look at the roster from last season, was that Bretton Cox was one of three undrafted players that the Packers signed to the roster, or that initial 53. And when you look at the roster, you know, going into cuts on Tuesday, I wrote about this for Cheesehead TV. I don't know that there's any undrafted rookies this season that are going to make the team. And that's always such a coveted thing in Green Bay, is to find the undrafted gems. But to your point, you know, their draft class is so big. And I think they're just, you know, more likely to give the nod to like a Kalen King in this situation, yeah. You know, your seventh rounder, your Travis Glover, over some of these undrafted guys. So we'll see what that looks like too. But, you know, in another world, I think some of these guys, you know, would have been locks for, you know, kind of that 53rd spot. Some of the undrafted players. And this year there's just too much talent on the roster, which is a good problem to have, but it's unfortunate when we talk about, you know, always finding those gems.
Yeah. Or we touched on it already, but I think the big looming question is if the starters start in this preseason game remains to be seen. I think there's pros and cons to both. I think it's my thought process is one series, like I mentioned before, kind of keep the muscles warm, is not the end of the world, and then get the rest of the depth. Get Michael Pratt and Sean Clifford to split the rest of the game. Bring everybody out and have your twos and your threes take the rest of the game. But again, if Matt LaFleur decides to go with no starters playing and go the more conservative route, I also would completely understand and respect that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if I'm a fan in attendance, like I know my cousin's taking her kids, and her kids aren't really old enough to like know Jordan Love and know the starters. They're just going for fun, but I can see the appeal of, you know, Ravens fans maybe that came to Lambeau that are looking to see the starters get to play even in a game that doesn't count. It's such a bucket list experience for a lot of people that, you know, I don't know, like you said, if there's something about, you know, that's what family night is too. Like Matt LaFleur talks about the home crowd and kind of being in the environment and feeling the energy and the momentum. So I don't know if that would make, you know, a difference in his decision to play the starters or to sit them. But I think one player that you and I will probably have our eyes on quite a bit, whether they do, well, I don't think they're going to play, but it's AJ Dillon, right? We came out of the Denver game talking about how we all thought that he was a roster lock because he wasn't playing. And that was kind of a clear indication of his status with the team. And then it comes out that he has a stinger, which is the injury that he had last season. So, of course, having a second one of those is kind of a concern. You just want to make sure it's not anything that's going to linger. So being this close, you know, 2 weeks away from the season, knowing it was something that kind of stuck with him for some of last season, you start to wonder, well, maybe AJ Dillon is the guy that starts on injured reserve. And what does Marshawn Lloyd look like? And maybe we go into the season and it's like Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson. So the running back rotation on Saturday, I think, is going to be really interesting. Like, maybe that's why they brought back a Nate McCreary, because he was with the team a little bit last season. And the depth right in that spot is just really shaky right now, knowing that Dillon, who we thought was going to be like the solidified two with Lloyd injured, is now also dealing with his own injury.
Yeah. It's unfortunate news for AJ, given, like you said, that it's something that he's dealt with in the past. So it's lingering. I think this, on the flip side, is great news for Emmanuel Wilson. It likely means he's a lock for the 53, not just from the fact that he's performed quite well in this this offseason in camp and in these games, but also that just out of necessity, pure necessity, he's certainly the next man up. I hope he makes the most of like these opportunities, because like you said, I mean, he's probably going to be the two now. So if he can, if he goes into the season as the two and performs well, who knows what that looks like for the rest of that room. You know, I can't think of them off the top of my head. If you are listening and you can, please write in the comments. I love when we do this. You know, guys who have had those opportunities that you never expected and end up, you know, being starters in Green Bay for seasons, right? Undrafted free agents. We love these stories. So I think this is an amazing opportunity for Emmanuel Wilson, kind of handed to him on a silver platter. But at the same time, shaky, because one injury away from like really having a running back problem.
I mean, I think that sums it up really well. And there's a joke there about Aaron Jones and whatever we want to say. But yeah, I mean, I think once Marshawn Lloyd is healthy, hopefully AJ Dillon's stinger does not linger for too long. But it's a room with a lot of promise, I think, and a lot of upside. That includes Emmanuel Wilson. You know, we've liked what we've seen from him. And Josh Jacobs is going to be a ton of fun in this offense. But yeah, it's really interesting, you know, how these things kind of shake out. We thought that Quay and Cooper were going to be our starting tandem at inside linebacker to start the season. We were really excited for that coming into week one. And it seems like Cooper's probably not going to be out there as one of the starters to start the season. It seems like it's going to be Isaiah McDuffie. So always a curveball, but any players that you're going to be, you know, looking at intensely here for one of these final spots, or just any holistic final thoughts before we wrap up?
I mean, the last, like, the same, it's the same as kind of last game, right? Because we got really no clear answers out of the Broncos game. So who's going to wrap up that wide receiver room? Who's going to take a hold of the depth at O-line? Is anyone going to stand out there? And then, of course, the always fiery, spicy kicker competition. We still do not know who the starting kicker is going to be going into week one, which, like, I think we've been all speaking about in jest, and it's starting to not become funny any longer as we get closer to the season. Like, the Packers are going to have to make a decision about who is kicking for them, and kicker is not not an unimportant position in the NFL, right? Kickers win and lose games all the time. And this is still like very, very much up in the air. And they're going to be at Lambeau in this game, kicking in the elements of Lambeau. It, granted, it is August, so not necessarily the elements as we think of them, but nonetheless, at your home stadium. So is anybody going to separate themselves? Remains to be seen.
And I think that's really interesting, right? Because we joked about it after the Broncos game that we just wanted to see field goals if they weren't going to score points on offense. And then Greg Joseph missed the one kick. But the last couple games, or the last couple practices, Anders Carlson is kind of nudged out in front. It felt like it was Greg Joseph's job to lose all training camp. He was just slightly ahead, and then he's kind of like fallen off. And now Anders Carlson made like a 50, 51 yarder today in practice, was 5 for 5, finished with like almost an 82% field goal percentage, which isn't amazing, but kind of nudged himself into the front of the competition. So knowing that, and, you know, seeing that like Cade York got traded, there's going to be kickers out there that'll be available, but I could also see the Packers saying, well, he came on strong at the end. He looks good. We're going to start the season with him and see what happens. Like, I kind of think, barring some fluky stuff on Saturday, that Carlson won himself the job these last couple weeks. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But I think the player that I'm really intrigued to see more of on Saturday is Kalen King, because we were all so high on him coming out of the draft. And I think there's a lot of upside there and a lot of potential, but he's also a 7th round pick. And if we're talking about, you know, we know Goody loves and covets his draft picks, and that's always kind of the bump for guys that are competing for roster spots. But Corey Ballantyne is still there. Robert Rochelle has had a really nice camp. So if you're talking about one final roster spot, I'd be curious, you know, if Goody, it's kind of the conversation we have every year. Like, is he going to value youth and upside, or does he want vet experience in some of these spots? So he's the guy that I'm going to be looking at, just because he's been kind of quiet. Like, he has flashes, but I want to see more of him on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you. Always with you on the cornerback. So we're there. Third game. The Ravens will be a tough opponent, regardless of who's out there, if they start their first stringers or not. So it should be great competition for the Packers.
It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be back soon after the game to talk about our 53-man roster predictions, because that's coming up really quickly. Like you said, we've got a glimpse at who the 53 will be, and then we've got a holiday weekend, and then we've got real NFL football, the regular season, kicking off right after Labor Day. So thank you, as always, for listening to this show. You can find us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can find us on YouTube as well if you listen to us that way. Thank you for liking and subscribing to the show. We appreciate it so much. And you can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast. Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. And let us know what you think of the preseason game. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.